Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
Welcome to a brand new show with interesting topics. I was looking through what our description for our show was here, and this is going to be fun. A lot of these topics are very, very close and dear to my heart, and I'd love to talk to you about them. So let's start right in. We've got here part of the changes that have happened in the spirit world. But to be able to understand that, it is better to understand exactly what occurred. That is one of the most monumental events ever to occur in the cosmos in August of 2006. Now, I'm very well aware that some of my students listening have been with me for many years and have grown right alongside of me, and we've seen many, many miracles together and very many experiences of all sorts. So I try always to give levels of information with these talks for those of you that are new to my work and for those of you that already know this. So I'll try and weave some more things in that I haven't taught before. So, my brothers and sisters of light, in August of 2006, I was in Dublin at the time, and in the night, a huge event happened. I was suddenly transported. One minute I was in my bedroom, the next minute I was standing in a huge, what looks to somebody that lives here in Oregon and knows these sorts of things, like an old growth forest, a forest that has never been logged. I stood in this old growth forest with these massive trees around me, and suddenly the trees shook themselves and their trunks turned 180 degrees. And this huge shout of voices went up throughout this huge big forest in which I was. I had no idea what has just happened. And I said, "What has just happened?" And one of the voices said, "The dark night is over. The dawn has begun. On the earth, the reign of peace has come." So, what is this supposed to mean? Why are the trees jubilant? Why are they turning 180 degrees? I still could not understand. And then it said, "The poles have reversed in the cosmos." Well, the poles had reversed in the cosmos, and that was certainly a very major event. And the whole book, The Ring of Truth, was written upon instruction of the infinite that I had to put down in writing some of the ramifications that that meant for the major light bearers of the world. What does it mean for us? Everything had changed. Things as simple as compassion, things as simple as the purpose of faith or belief, and things as massive as the purpose of life, changed in that moment. Now, I've written most of, that I could. I mean, Mother gave me 3 months to have that book in the publisher's hands. And so September and October and November and the bit of August that was left was it. So I wrote, late every night as rapidly as I could. I handwrite each of my books just with an empty mind, and it flows through my hands. But one of the very large things that had happened was the following. We had had in-breaths and out-breaths of God. In-breaths and out-breaths of the infinite. That meant that life moved like a big donut, or what's called a tube torus, folding out and folding in upon itself. So when it folds out, we're in the the out-breath of God. When it folds in, we're in the in-breath of God. But basically, we were captured in this massive fishbowl, if you want to, like a goldfish swimming round and round. No place to go, because where we've been, we had already been before. Where we were going, same story. And this was because we were caught up in a cosmic life and rebirth cycle. The life and rebirth cycle of the cosmos is part of someone that has not reached their immortality. And so the immortality that then was available to us, shall we say, because we then entered a massive, larger fishbowl, and yet larger and larger, until finally we got to the point in October of 2007 where we no longer were in fishbowls. We no longer traveled round and round in circles. There was only exponential growth. And we will look into that a little bit later, because that's part of our topic for today. But essentially it meant that death and rebirth cycles, reincarnation, as a reality in the cosmos, and of course man as the microcosm, would absolutely exhibit the same thing, whereas many alien races do not. They decide when they want to lay their life down, if they want to at all, and it might be after 10,000 years, or, you know, they may choose just to keep going with one life. But humankind has always mirrored the large picture. In that moment, that which carried us outward, and we'll see what it is in a moment, outward and inward, like that big tube torus or the big donut folding outwards and inwards, shattered. And what happened as a result? Well, let's first look at what it was that shattered. For eons, Toltec seers have been studying their verbal oral traditions. They are seldom mentioned in public. When they were handed down to me as a Toltec Nagual, they were going from Nagual to Nagual, and it was widely acknowledged that they were close to 1 million years old. That we had no idea of the history of man, but the Toltec oral traditions gave the major cataclysms that had happened that made transitions in the massive cycles of life that I describe in the second part of The Gift of the Unicorns. And the book is, the second half of it is the history of these cycles. But my brothers and sisters, what had happened, the Toltec seers had understood. They'd been studying awareness. Now, I had studied awareness for many years. I was able to find two movements of awareness that previous Toltec seers had not. But they knew one thing. They knew awareness moved, and it moved in spirals. They had traced that it moved outward from a source, and that it had an outward moving movement to it, but as well also a spiraling movement. I managed to see that the outward movement was also an arc, hence the donut. Hence, it could be said that awareness traveled outward from a source, but at some point it also would mean that it would travel back to that source being an arc. The spirals of awareness, they were called by the ancients the serpents of heaven. The sun. An is heaven, and S was the name for serpent. And the sun, you know, San Bernardino, San Francisco, whatever, Santa, Santos, all of those words come from saint, you know, all of that comes from the word sun. The wise ones that had learned to cooperate with the spirals of awareness, the serpents of heaven. Because if you learned to cooperate with them, you are able to slip past death. It was the opposition to life that caused wear and tear on what is called our luminous cocoon, which is, you know, the sort of a luminous egg around the human body comprised of the multiple bodies that are there. And so this luminous cocoon around the body, and by the way, multiple changes have happened to this luminous cocoon and the bodies of man, and to stay updated with that, you would go to AlmineHealing.com website. We have a magazine in there called The Cutting Edge, where as these changes occur in the cosmos, that's where we would be putting it for those of you that are healers up there. So, my brothers and sisters, what happened is that the sun, the serpents of heaven, the spirals that took us outward and inward in that repeating cycle of death and rebirth of cosmoses, would in fact shatter at that time. It shattered into tiny little bits, and I always compare it like butter that you spread across bread. It spread evenly across the bread of the cosmos, and no longer were there those who, just by virtue of how they were made by the mother or the father, the infinite being, how they were made by virtue of that, they didn't have the privilege of having more awareness than another. Any being could accrue, could gather towards themselves the butter on the bread. What it took was love, praise, and gratitude. Now, some major changes have happened around this issue of love and praise and gratitude. Brand spanking new news. So those of you that have been my students for a long time, you will want to stay put to hear this. But let's just take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almine. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almine at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almine. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almine.
Welcome back. We have entered a most amazing stage in the last 2 days of growth. You see, previously, growth has come through opposition up until that very fateful day in August 2006. It then happened that we went to a state of growth through support, but it was too slow. In fact, the support just really wasn't there. Multiple things have been put in place for the support, but nevertheless, it was not functioning as one would hope. So the very next thing that took place is growth through grace. Growth through grace is, in effect, still in place, but the method of how it's taking place has just been, shall we say, amped up. So it's been kicked into high gear. And what the method of it is coincides with a very favorite topic of mine that I've touched on during some previous shows, And that has to do with this vast body of alchemy that has been released to us. And we will, within 2 weeks or so from today, we will have in place for you, maybe it'll be 3 weeks, but it'll be in place, the Wheels of the Goddess, Sacred Secrets of Alchemy. And we give you there the entire body of information as it's come through to me, and as it continues to come through, that will be updated. But it is basically how to become an alchemist. The cosmos has, in a way, become an alchemist. The love and praise and gratitude have been separate. They have been like the red, well, let's say it correctly, they've been like the blue for the love, the red for gratitude, and the praise has been a gold, a yellow color. Together they made the white light of illumination. But they have been alchemically added together to make something much larger. What it is now is devotion in action. Love, praise, and gratitude have been combined into one beautiful field of existence that has changed the very building blocks from which life everywhere in the cosmos is made. It has put all of us into a higher level of existence. It is devotion in action. My brothers and sisters, the more devotion in action, which takes the place of the love and the praise and the gratitude as separate entities, the more of that we have, the more we are able to pull towards us these tiny little fragments of awareness. And these fragments of awareness is what the spirals shattered into. And what is so nice about this? Because previously, when we were traveling along those out-breaths and in-breaths, along the spirals of awareness, large and small, when we were doing that, growth was a matter of always becoming. I used to say to my students, life is a journey, not a cap. If you rest on your laurels, if you become lazy with spiritual growth, and remember, up until that time, spiritual growth came through adversity and opposition. So it took toughness for us to keep going and not sliding backwards down the mountain. Now it doesn't. Inertia was part of those spirals. It meant that you either had to move with awareness as it moved, or you were left behind. It's no longer the case. Awareness isn't going anywhere. And if we rake it towards us with devotion in action, then the good news is that it stays right there and we have increased our awareness permanently. The only way we would lose that is if we deliberately act against our highest perception and our highest intention and attitudes. So if we act against our highest wisdom, that's the only time we will lose what we've raked together. Now, what does this mean in terms of death? What was death? And we have touched on it on a previous program, I remember well, but let's go over it very carefully. We had this luminous egg around our bodies. The luminous egg was constantly being pummeled by these spirals that moved through everything. Scientists have seen these little bits of things that move in spirals that actually go deep through anything that they put. They can put thick layers of lead, but they go right through. They went right through our luminous egg, unless we oppose life. If we are constantly going to find everything that's wrong with the situation, if we are constantly going to find every reason to deny the opportunities that life presents to us, my brothers and sisters, we are losing energy. We require the energy and power to hold the awareness, to be conscious. So if we oppose life, we can yet cause wear and tear on our luminous egg. This developed what's called gas discharge video imaging, which is a very advanced form of guerrillion photography that takes the photography at several levels deep. But we have on the AlmeenHealing.com website, www.AlmeenHealing.com, and by the way, we've got many websites. Some of them are just going up. Our Ascension Angels one on how to speak the angelic languages and, you know, photos of angels and so on. That will be up within a week. So, you know, go to our website, take a little peek. You may also want to join me on my journey by walking every day with me. There, all of these things are free. We've got over 100 free radio hours, and it's internet radio, so you can get it all over the world. And we have got a daily blog, a daily diary, so that every day as things happen in the cosmos, it's updated. It's just my diary, but that's my life. And you're welcome to walk that journey with me if you wish. So, my brothers and sisters, the issue here is that we have a photograph of the wear and tear on the luminous egg. We did multiple subjects in controlled setting with experts on the equipment. Dr. DeVita was the expert that monitored the healing before and after, and I did a 12-minute healing on each of the subjects. And it shows the wear and tear on the luminous egg before and after the 12-minute healing. This is really a testimony to healers that it does work. But we have got, just to continue with this, we had these spirals pummeling the luminous egg. They pummeled it when you resisted life. It caused wear and tear on your body. It caused sagging of muscles. It caused wrinkles. It caused sagging in the face, loss of hair, all sorts of signs of aging and decay. If, on the other hand, you fully cooperate with life, you moved with the spirals, you floated down the river rather than standing firm and trying to oppose the current as it goes down. And when you did that, that's when you became a saint, in that you became an immortal master. So death has ceased to pummel our egg. Now what? Why are people dying? My brothers and sisters, you can absolutely lay down your life if you wish. And how would that happen? By resisting life, by opposing life, by not being home for the parts of yourself, the inner child, the inner instinctual self, the inner warrior, protecting your boundaries, living your life for others versus from a point of authenticity which is heart-oriented, which comes from the heart. All of these things are things that will leak energy day by day by day. You can do that and age. You can do that and perish your physical body if you wish. But it is no longer a necessity. There is nothing causing wear and tear against that luminous cocoon other than if you wish to give up energy bit by bit by bit. If you don't have enough energy, you will also lose soul force. And soul force will be given up bit by bit by bit. Until eventually, there is more soul force in the spirit world, in the realms, which is one octave above us, if you will. It's actually one note above us, but so the point is it's another frequency. There will be more soul force there than in your body. And then the remaining soul force will say, wait a minute, you know, the person's actually already dead. I'm moving out of here. And that is what causes death at this point. It is a choice. You can rake towards you enough life force, enough awareness, through the attitude of devotion in action. Let's take a look what that would look like. How does one live that? My brothers and sisters, the bottom line of it is you live with surrender to the moment. When you put life in predictable boxes, no, this is not the way life was supposed to gift me in this moment. I'm supposed to be receiving this in this moment. It's the rigidness that will create within you resistance to life. You cannot be in your heart space when there's resistance to life. Heart space lives innocently like a child. It sees a beautiful caterpillar. It's delighted. It's the gift of the moment. It sees beautiful birds flying. It's delighted. It's the gift of the moment. Just this morning, we stopped to watch this wonderful display of horses chasing each other across the field and rearing up and winning and their thuds of their hoofs on the earth. What a wonderful gift, the gift of the moment. But if we go, no, wait a minute, we expect something else this moment, we need to be somewhere else doing something else, those beautiful gifts pass us by. In Oregon at this time, everything is golden. It's in what we call the Indian summer. The Indians say that there are five seasons. There's a few weeks in September when everything is gold. The leaves haven't turned yet. I saw my first tree today turn. Nothing else has turned yet, but everything is still and waiting for the autumn to come. Indian summer, my favorite time of the year. If we are too busy to notice this, if we are too self-important by what we think we should be doing, this is not devotion in action. Let's look at the next thing. That is devotion in action. If we look at a workload as a whole bunch of hours we have to spend, right here in front of me on my desk is a big fat manuscript I have to go through, called The Realms of Innocence. Two times I've caught myself thinking, oh no, that's at least 24 hours worth of work. Where am I going to fit this in? My brothers and sisters, The Realms of Innocence is trying to teach me something. The Realms of Innocence doesn't weigh work in big chunks. It plays with the work joyfully in the moment. It does only what's in front of it. A child doesn't know the difference between doing 8 hours worth of work or 8 minutes worth of work when they do their first minute. We do, because we tend to put the 8 hours like a burden on our shoulder. The child does 1 minute of work at a time. Let every bit of work we do be to the glory of the one being, expressing as the many. What a priceless privilege. If we can just have the humility to see that, instead of the pompous self-importance that sees our busyness only. What a priceless thing that the work we give, when it's given with devotion, will in fact enhance all life. There is an alchemical equation in place to illustrate what I've just said. And it goes like this. When we live from our highest attitudes possible, that coupled with the field of existence. Now, the field is the subatomic quantum level field from which atoms and everything else arises. It's that which life is made of. Highest attitudes possible at any given moment, coupled with the field of existence, equals the evolution of all life. We have spoken before about the fact that alchemy is an equation. If you have a chunk of lead and another chunk of lead, that's a mathematical equation. It equals two chunks of lead. If you have one chunk of lead and you equal it and you put something with it that makes it into gold, that's much bigger than the two things that you added together. That's alchemy. And it can be 96 times. Well, it can be 96. 1 plus 1 can be up to 96 when working with alchemy. If you want to go beyond that, there's a body of information we mentioned last week that will, I'm currently, in next 2 weeks or so, I'll get around to writing it down. But we do have video clips about that on the multiple places that we have video clips, and they're going up this week, and some are already up. The alchemical equations, the highest attitude possible when we do our work, to the glory of the one life, with so much gratitude that we have something to give. If we do that, coupled with the fields of creation, it equals the evolution of all life. We have now just contributed to every being in existence. Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Welcome back with us. And let's look at what it means that growth is no longer linear. See, previously, if you take a look at the anatomy of change, my brothers and sisters, that is in the journey to the heart of God. And it's important, even when things change, to understand how they were. Because as duality, meaning the threads of the tapestry has been separated, come together to form the tapestry again, we need to still know the threading that took place so we can understand reality. So if we take a look at how growth did take place, we will notice that it went through those spirals of awareness. Every spiral went through three very distinct stages. Transformation. Transformation did away with anything that was obsolete. And if you go to the Secrets of the Hidden Realms book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms has carefully mapped out in the back of it the stages of man's evolution. I am consciousness. That's something people is aware of. But are they aware that it's only one of nine phases? So, I mean, that's very important to know, because if we stay static anywhere, life could, in fact, stagnate. So let's take a look at these three stages, because the nine phases of man's evolution go through these phases three times. And it's transformation, the time of shedding of the old, that which is no longer needed. And then there is transmutation, which is basically alchemy. And we spoke last week about how white magic is like that which sheds the illusion that covers the perfection. It sheds what is no longer needed. A child is ill. What is illness? The real part of illness was taken away when the dark ones of the cosmos representing the illusion were dissolved entirely. The disease of the cosmos was gone. Microcosmically, disease is an illusion, and we speak much about that on the Belvaspata, BelvaspaTa section on the AlmeenHealing.com. Why and how disease is no longer a reality, and how, as a healer, you treat it then. So, if you take a look at that, the white magic to heal a child, incorruptible white magic, like an angel would use, like you could use. And, you know, the information, we're pulling it together, and it will be up on a website very soon as well. But we've been receiving it now for 2 years. Kingdoms have been giving it to us. You can see it in the Gift of the Unicorns, in the Aruba Firina book, which has interdimensional photography and a beautiful one of a exquisite green fairy right in front of my face, as clear as anything. And we've got also some in the Isis book, which is Opening the Doors of Heaven. So if you take a look at what that is. It's the removal of what's no longer needed. Thank you. We've learned the lesson of the illusion of disease. We no longer need it. Incorruptible white magic, like an angel or a fairy would use, like you can use, is to expose the perfection underneath. It uses transformation. Transmutation is an alchemical equation. You know, you have love and praise and gratitude. What do you have? You have devotion in action. You have devotion in action. It combines with a higher equation. It interacts with the fields of existence. And it brings about another equation, the evolution of all life. Belvaspata is, in fact, an alchemical healing modality. So, you know, these things work with alchemy. What does alchemy do? It transmutes something of a lesser value to a higher value. That's the second stage in the anatomy of change. This is how change and growth used to go when it was linear. Then, as you transmute and as you transmute, my brothers and sisters, eventually you get to the place of transfiguration. Transfiguration is the sacred body of the divine architect principles of creation, body of information that has just come through in Colorado. And it's so sacred because it, in fact, can make 1 + 1 far more than 96, which alchemy does. But it is when everything is transfigured from one level of life to the next. It creates a whole new form of life. And so these are parts of the stages of change. I can see what is coming. You know, just by connecting the dots, I can guess what the picture is going to be. But I don't think, you know, I don't know, have any idea. The Infinite Mother has not said a word to me about this. She is the one that gave the other bodies of information. But if cosmically those stages of change have pulled into one, which is exponential change, I am quite sure that at some point all three, these bodies of information, are going to pull into one magnificent body of exponential change. So, you know, it's we should learn what there is so we can earn what is coming. Use it and honor it and love it. Then we bring in the exponential change, which is a very high form of, I don't have a word for it. I don't know what it is yet. I haven't seen it. But it's coming because everything else has pulled into one. Let's look at how exponential growth works. I was just asked by a magazine in Sedona to write on prophecies for 2009 and the regular sort of writers are asked to channel their highest sources of information. I'd love to. I adore writing for this beautiful magazine. But my brothers and sisters, if growth is exponential and the cosmos is ascending, let's say there's a prophecy tomorrow that a revolution is going to break out in a country. Let's say that's tomorrow's prophecy. Let's say today you do your work with the most joyous, most beautiful, devotional attitude, offering on the altar of the one life, expressing in this exquisite myriad of life forms. You offer it joyfully and gladly, with the highest attitude possible. That interacts with the fields of existence, and all life evolves. Now, what has just happened? Life has moved upwards. Let's also say that you decide that, listen, I'm not just going to know these things. I don't just earn my mastery by virtue of who I am. I'm actually going to live them. And today is the day I'm going to change this inside myself. So you change. As you change, because you are the middle of your cosmos, each of us is, it ripples out all the way to the edge of the cosmos, changing somebody in Arcturus, changing somebody in the Lyra star system, changing somebody in, well, the Pleiades. But now because they change, it's also rippling out. So it's also changing you again. And me. The trees, the nature, the pollution. Everything is changing because of it. My brothers and sisters, the revolution that would have broken out tomorrow now is a cultural revolution. By the time we have now also, with our attitudes, managed to move the evolution of all life upwards, not just horizontally in and out because we changed ourselves today and we are now living at a higher level, but also because of our attitudes interacting with the fields and we're moving life vertically upward in an ascension, teeny step at a time, can do it. The cultural revolution now becomes profound cultural enlightenment. Yesterday, somebody might correctly have predicted that there was going to be a revolution, and they would have been accurate. By today, they're not. How can anyone, anywhere, predict? There's one more point that I want to bring out, and then we'll take a quick commercial break here, but it's something that I haven't discussed with my students. Why is it that the polarity reversed in the cosmos at a time when the cosmos, in effect, became immortal because it ceased its death and rebirth cycles? Go to Journey to the Heart of God and you will see that as you go into your ascended mastery, you actually change polarity. Now, I've discussed that in some detail in Journey to the Heart of God, but I just want to point out that this is literally what happened to the cosmos. And it changed its polarity. At the time, there were other cosmoses, but its change affected everything. It became the way shower of all cosmoses. And in Journey to the Heart of God, where you become a positively charged being in the polarity of material life that we discuss there, you suddenly, through every action, start to affect the way life is run, the way it changes. In other words, you become the pivot point of reality. Reality pivots upon your back. That's what happened to our cosmos. There's a book currently that we're getting, that's either at the printer or we're getting it ready, I think, or they're just sort of doing final illustrations back and forth, called Windows into Eternity, that will explain to you what happened, after our cosmos became positively charged vis-a-vis all the other massive DNA strands of clusters of cosmoses. They became the pivot point. So if you've got that book handy during the break, you may want to take a quick peek at Becoming a Positively Charged Particle section in it. We'll be back in a few minutes.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The book Journey to the Heart of God, Mystical Keys to Immortal Mastery. After 3 months of intense physical preparation, in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for more than the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like the automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it is transcribed. Few who have entered into God consciousness leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of the immortal master in addition to continued function among the masses. But as a Toltec, Nagua, and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. It's an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. These sacred messages came the true identity of mankind as life beacons of creation and the way shows back to the heart of God. Within this book, some of the mysteries of the cosmos that have plagued seers for eons have been solved for the first time. Never before in the history of any mystery schools have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the destiny of man. With every fiber of our beings and in the depth of our heart's truth, no matter how profound, can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almeenspiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
From an ancient source of love and light, a goddess is born to banish the maze, to awaken the magic of life and talent, routing our hearts and clinging to the spell. The long night is over, the dawn has begun. Upon the earth, the goddess has come. To turn the key that turns the page and ends the darkness of the bygone age. Faun and elf exalt the light. At the ending of the dark and faithless night, from every kingdom the news resounds. The goddess reigns, and joy abounds.
You have been opening the doors of heaven without me. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Naomi.
We're very glad when you join us, my beloved Light family. It's you that makes this show possible. And so please, if you think that you have friends that would appreciate this type of information, please get them to at least know about us. We would appreciate that very much. We want to now just take a look at the remaining topics that we have here and make sure that we get them all in. Let's look at some of the changes that have happened in the spirit world. We've spoken about how we have to live these truths to be masters. How about departed loved ones? How can they be masters? Well, the interesting thing as it is, not only have great changes happened inside the spirit world, but it has happened to the spirit world. Let me explain what I mean by that. Previously, the spirit world has been very much further removed from the physical world than where we are. And we were able, with great difficulty, to contact loved ones. Also, there was a lot less chance of being able to reach loved ones because of the following. If somebody had passed on and was in the spirit world, their only chance, and this was before the end of February 2004, when certain changes were made that I will discuss with you. But up until that time, the only way somebody could become an ascended master was if they returned to the physical. The reason was that it had been decreed by the infinite in the laws of reality that the ascension process required physicality. And there's a reason for this that we've mentioned once or twice on these shows, but it is that when life ascends from the upper levels, they lift off and take off because it's quite easy to raise the lighter levels of existence. There's less bogging them down. So they just take off at their own speed, leaving us behind. So a splitting of realms happens. I remember that this has happened before when I was taking the dictation from the race known as the Darklings. They were speaking and giving the information about the history of the cycles, and I was writing it down as rapidly as I could, but suddenly they couldn't see me anymore, we couldn't hear each other properly, things like that. And what had happened is that because there was something that had been spoken into the what's called the Book of Life that we had at the time, which is mentioned, by the way, in the New Testament, but it is the book that determines the laws of reality. And if you look on my blog diary, you will see what's happened to this book in the last 2 weeks. I believe it's something like 6-7 days ago, actually. But just to continue, the Book of Life, it wrote in there that they must share in the burden of humankind because we're the densest race, that it is it's here where all true new knowledge is gained because it's here where the known meets the unknown. And for us, it's the cosmic unknown, which for humans actually is called the unknowable. But it's here where all true cosmic growth takes place, and that's put a tremendous burden on humanity's shoulders. And so during these past years of massive ascension, oh my goodness, it feels like we've lived 100 years. So Mother wanted to alleviate this, and my brothers and sisters, the infinite is half feminine, half masculine. I am very accustomed to saying Mother, because it's the feminine aspect that called me to work on behalf of gathering these major, major light workers worldwide, because Mother calls them the pillar of her temple. And so they've been gathered, they've been going into ascended mastery, and it, you know, the journey of that is described in The Ring of Truth, and I did talk about it, I believe, on our first show. However, the point I'm trying to make is that it was the mother had written that they must share in that burden. Immediately they just took off because they could ascend faster, and it caused like a blister between us and them of space. And so we could not possibly stay together because we had more density that we had to drag upwards. We were bottom heavy. And this is an example of what happens when ascension takes place from non-physical levels. Hence, those who were in the spirit world had to incarnate in physicality to be able to become immortal and eventually fully ascended masters. We have a four-hour session that's coming up in October. That's a web tutorial, and you should see the advertisements of it on our website. But it's everything you wanted to know about ascension. And so anyway, to continue, spirits couldn't ascend before that way. Now they can. Because what you had Earth, you had above it, actually two levels above it at the time, but you had above it the lower level of the spirit world called Duat by the Egyptians. Above that you had, that some call it the spirit prison. Above that you had a higher spirit world called Sekhet Hepsbet. And then above that you had the ascended masters that had bypassed death while in the flesh. The gates had been flung open wide. Our departed loved ones no longer have to incarnate. They can go straight into the ascended mastery realms. Those who had, have earned the right to live but had made many mistakes can go straight into the higher levels of the spirit world. Growth is exponential. Linear time has ceased because linear time was the movement of awareness through space. It no longer moves. A time of innocence and growth through grace has begun. Thank you so much for joining me with this hour, and we'll be back next week.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.